This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Mercy, visited with grace, commanded help from Zion in the name of Jesus. Show us great mercy. Show us great grace. Grant unto us furtherance in the Spirit. Bring re-establishment upon our soul in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Honor the Son of God. Glory to you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, we are pray. Amen. Subtlety of the serpent has knowledge. Because the way Adam and Eve were created, the first Adam, the way they were created with knowledge. They had knowledge in their soul. Because Adam was not a child. You say in Mali, be ye children, how be it? Be not children in understanding. So Adam and Eve were not children in understanding. So if they are not children in understanding, it shows that their soul, because the soul is the place of understanding, the spirit understands. But when they say that Adam was in understanding, and there cannot be understanding without knowledge. And if there's knowledge, there will be wisdom. So Adam and Eve, we are in understanding. As the Bible says, there's a spirit in man. The inspiration of Almighty giveth him understanding. So that inspiration of Almighty is the breath of Almighty. So Adam and Eve had breath. Their soul as a spirit is different from a man. It's a spirit. It's different from the candle of a man that is a spirit, which is book of Proverb. This one, there is a spirit in man. But Proverb said, the spirit of man, the spirit of man is therefore, there is a spirit in man. So the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So we can see, searching all the inward part. So we can see that the spirit of the man is talking about the spirit, which is like God is a spirit, and God also created man to be a spirit. So Proverbs 20:27 is talking about the spirit of the man, which is the man. So the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So by the reason of that spirit, is a candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts. So in the inward part is the soul. How do I know that the inward part is the soul? Again, I've taught all this thing. You saw that in book of 2 Corinthians 4:16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So there's a spirit of man that is searching the inward man. So there's a spirit of man which is called the inner man. That's the inner man. There's the inward man. And there's the outward man. The inner man is the spirit of the man. It's the inner man. So we find the inner man being mentioned in Ephesians 3. That he said, that will grant unto you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. So there's the inner man. There's the inward man. And there's the outward man. The inner man is the spirit of the man. The spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord. That searching all the evil parts of the belly. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Also mention of the spirit of the man. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him. He knoweth. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God, then give it me. Yea, the Spirit searcheth So the spirit of man is the one that is searching. In verse 10. But God have revealed them unto us by his spirit, which is the spirit of God. For the spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For one man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man. Because the spirit of man is a candle that searches the inward man. Or it searches the inward part of the belly. The belly there is the soul. The belly has inward part. So the belly is the inward man with parts. That the spirit of man, the inner man, searches the inward man. Psalm render it beautiful like this. For thou will lighten my candlestick. Because the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. You will lighten. You will ignite it. For thou will lighten my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. So I have my candle, I have my darkness. My darkness is my belly, which is my inward man, which is the soul with parts. The soul has parts. The spirit does not have parts. The soul is, has inward parts. Because the inward part has heart, it has mind, it has conscience. Which Psalm 51:6 also began to shed light on. Behold, that desired truth in the inward part. Because inward part has different other part. And in the hidden part. So in the inward part has some part that I eat. The hidden part. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. So that hidden part. In 1 Peter 3:3-4. Whose adorning let not be that of outward. Adorning or plating the hair. Which is the outward. Is the outward man. And of the wearing of gold, you put gold, you plate air on outward man. And of putting on of an apparel. But let it be hidden man of the heart, or the hidden man of the inward man. Let it not be the hidden man of the inward. In that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of a great price. So I started by saying from that book of Job that when he said there's a spirit in man, the man that I'm talking about, that the spirit in him is the inward man, which 1 Peter chapter 3:3-4, part of this kind of spirit, they say it should be ornamented. The inward man can be ornamented with a meek, quiet spirit, broken spirit, contrite spirit, Holy Spirit. You find those things being mentioned, this kind of different kind of spirit that you can use to ornament the inward man and all the inward part with in Psalm 51. All those spirits were mentioned there, they were the spirits of the heart. Like he said in 1 Peter 3:3-4, let the adorning not be of the outward adorning of the plating the hair, of wearing of gold, and of putting on of apparel, which is for the outward man. But let it be the hidden man of the heart. So the hidden man of the heart is inward parts of the belly. They are the part of the inward part of the belly. According to that, Isaiah 51 that we read, that will make me to know wisdom. That is actually in the inward parts. I mean to know wisdom in the hidden part. So there is a spirit in a man that searches. He said, the spirit that is in man, that such is called, is the inspiration of the Almighty. Where God put inspiration or the breath of Almighty is in the soul. The inspiration of the Almighty that give understanding. So without the inspiration of the Almighty, or without the breath of Almighty, you are not going to have breakthrough in understanding. Nobody can have breakthrough in understanding without a spirit. And that's the essence of the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Spirit of wisdom and revelation is to give spiritual understanding to the soul. And without understanding, there is no establishment. Without understanding, there is no stability. How God established the soul is the gift, the giving of understanding. And you can't have understanding without spirit. There are different kinds of spirits that they give. The spirit of God giveth understanding. So part of the spirit is the spirit of Almighty, or breath of Almighty. Spirit is breath, the spirit of Almighty. In that same book of Job 33:4-4 said, the spirit of God had made me, and the breath of Almighty had given me life. So the breath of Almighty, the spirit of Almighty give understanding, the breath of Almighty give life. Because you can't have life without breath. So what you call breath, they are spirit of Almighty. And this spirit is not spirit as person or breath of God or breath of the Lord. They give understanding. And so breath is spirit. Life is also spirit. Because Bible said the letter kill it, the spirit give life. So if it's the breath of Almighty, it shows that it's the spirit of Almighty that give it life. And you cannot also have understanding without inspiration, which is also spirit of Almighty. So it becomes very, very obvious that there's a spirit of the heart. Nobody can be good without having enough spirits in his inward man. To be good inward. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart. What do you treasure in the heart? What should be the treasures of the heart? When you say the good treasure of the heart, like we are reading in that 1 Peter 3, 3 to 4, it should not be outward, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. So before you can say things that let it be the hidden man, how can you make man of the heart? To make a man of the heart with treasure, to make the man of the heart to be good. And the man of the heart, dear, man of the inward man, to make up that man, to frame that man, to fashion that man, to form that man. You have to form him with ornaments. Ornaments, yeah, in that which is not corruptible. So there are ornaments that are not corruptible, but the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. So you see that if you want to give ornament to the hidden man of the heart, of the man of the heart, it has to be spirits. Because anything that is good must not be corrupt. Something that is corruptible is not good. You read the book of Psalm 143, verse 10. Say, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me unto the land of uprightness. Thy spirit is good. So how you make a man good on the inside is that you take of the breath of God, of the spirit of the Almighty, and you use those things to ornament, adorn the inward parts. They don't use the inward part in New Testament, in Epistle. They use the inward part. Instead of using inward part, they call it inward members. What they call part in the Old Testament, you'll find that in book of Job, in book of Psalms, but they don't call it part in the New Testament. They call it members. Your inward members. You yield your inward members as instruments. So, you find repetition of this from Romans 6, 13. Neither ye your members as instrument of unrighteousness unto sin. So the members they are talking about, they don't talk about your actual members. They are members there because when you read from earlier verses, you will know that they are talking about the man within, not the man outward. But ye yourself unto God as those, what are those? Yourselves. What they call yourselves there? Your members. Yield your members. Yield yourselves. So, what they call yourselves there are different parts of the inward man. James talked about that. James said, James 4, 1 to 2, where cometh wars and fighting among you? The fight is not outside. It was not likely to three brethren fighting. Come then not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members. So So lust is present with our members. Where sin has gone to program. Sin has gone to ornamented. Sin has gone to code. Sin has gone to write a law in our members. So what made up what show as lust are written ordinances, written code, which are adorning of our inward member with lust. And those laws is as a result of a law that are written within our members. Because our members has contrary laws, which are contrary. Say contrary in book of Romans. He says contrary, the flesh lusted, or Galatians, and it's contrary. This I say, therefore, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusted against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the another, so that you cannot do the things that you will. Just like that thing, the things that you will. Paul said the same thing in Romans 7. Because of what is in his members, that you cannot do the things that you will. In Romans 7, 19. For the good that I will, I do not. In this man, he has the knowledge of good. When it comes to knowledge, he has the knowledge. But to translate the knowledge of the good into where his inward member will do that which is good, the good in his knowledge have not been integrated to his members. The members are not yet adorned. They are not yet ornamented. They are not yet converted. The law of good is not yet written in his members. For the good that I will, I do not, like Galatians. But the evil which I will not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I will not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Because Jesus, I say, sin has gone to do something in the members. I then find a law. Can you see? I say it's a law. Because what makes you to do evil, what makes you to lust is the law. The evil, the law, is as a result of the law in the member. For I find them a law that is, when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God, because there should be the law of God that is after the inward man. Because inward man has his members, the inward part, the inward members. But I see another law in my members, because the inward man has knowledge of what is good. Because I started teaching in the past 2 weeks, I started talking about the place of moving from knowledge into wisdom, which I say had to do with conversion, so that you can move into power, which is life, which is power to become. Power is to bring into becoming, into assessing the life of what is your conversion. Because wisdom is the tool of converting you. If wisdom brings for cancer, it brings for stability. Wisdom builds you up so that you're building, you can receive life into it. I then find a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. So what is the evil that is present with me? Verse 21 says, evil is present with me. Then verse 23 says, but I see another law in my member, warning against the law of my mind. So by his mind has the knowledge of good. Warning against the law of my mind, bringing me to captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So the law of sin in his member is what is responsible to the evil. And that's what is limiting against doing good. Because why? A good man out of the good treasure of his heart, not just in the mind, in his heart. Treasure. A good man out of the good treasure. And the treasure is thy law. Thy spirit is good and thy law. So that good spirit is the law. That book of Psalm 143. Teach me thy will. Thy will is also thy law. For thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Thy spirit is good means thy Lord is good. And thy Lord is thy will. Because he said it also in Romans chapter 7. Wherefore the Lord is holy, and the commandment holy, just and good. So the good treasure is the law. And the law is the spirit. Call it the law of spirit. The law of spirit. So you cannot make a man good without putting the will, putting thy will, which is thy law. Joker was saying, I say, make the roots of a tree good. If you made the root of a tree to be good, the fruit will be good. You cannot, fruit cannot be good if the root is not good. A good root will produce good tree. For you to make a tree good, go and make the root good. A good root will produce good tree. An evil root will produce evil tree. Because in book of Romans, it is the root that bear the branch. Romans 11:18, boast not against the branches, but if thy boast, thy bearing not the root, but the root thee. So the root is what bear the branches. When you see a tree, the stem of a tree and its branches, the root that carries. So what is in the branch is a result of the root. So to be made good is to go and treat your root. It's treating the root. Make the root. Take root downward and bearing fruit upward. But taking root, the root must be good. It's not just having root. A man can have root, but the root is not good. To have a good root, we need to have good root. So you find that in that Matthew chapter 3, he make mention of verse 10, that now the ass is laid unto the root of trees. So in Israel, at that time, there were trees in men. Satan has gone ahead to plant trees. Different kind of trees, religious trees, Pharisaical trees, Sadducaical trees. They were trees. Men that can shade away God. Men that will not make God to be seen. The axe is laid at the root of the tree. Where every tree will bear not good fruit. Why did they connect fruit to root? They didn't stay on the branches. What they are targeting is the root. Because it's the root that bears the branch. Because it's the root that supplies nourishment to the branch, to the stem, which is the tree, and the tree produces fruit. So, there's a spirit in man. So, that spirit in man, is it in man? Is it a good spirit that is in that man in what part? If the spirit that is in man is not good, the makeup of that man will not be good. It will not be good. So you need good spirits for you to be instructed. You see that people like Caleb and Joshua, they were able to follow fully with their heart, because they had another spirit in their inward parts. They have another, what you call another, they couldn't describe that thing, but it was the blessing of God to them. In Nehemiah 20, it said, thou give also thy good spirit. Thy good spirit, I love that word, thy good spirit to instruct them. And we tethered not thy manna from their mouth and given them water for their thirst. So God give good spirit. Good spirit, thy good spirit. And I say good spirit is good, is the law that is good. The law is just. The law in Romans 7. We're talking about the Lord is. It is holy. The law is holy. The law is just. The law is good. Is holy, is just, and is good. And verse 7 of 16 of Romans say, if them I do that which I will not, I consent unto the law that it is good. So nobody can be good without the law. Nobody can be good without the word. The word is good. The Lord is good. So the gift of the law, the word and the law, is wisdom to his soul. So when they give you good word of the Lord or good word of God, and they give you the good law, you have been blessed with good. That's the wisdom that is good. So the word and the Lord is good. I was teaching last time. I ended by showing us from Isaiah chapter 2. And I wanted to also read Micah 4. That what they used to build the house is the word and the law. Because that's when you come to the house of the Lord. Those are the two things you come to see from the house. That wisdom has built. The house which wisdom built. I love that word. The house that wisdom built. The house that wisdom built. So there's a house that wisdom built. Wisdom have built a house. And when wisdom is building, she has hewn out her seven pillars. So wisdom can build. Proverbs 9:1-2. Wisdom has built there a house, and she had him at her seven pillars, and she has killed her beasts. She had mingled her wine. She had also furnished her table. So it shows that wisdom, when she's building, she prepare meat. And she prepare wine. She furnish table. You furnish table with bread. Because they put cement, they put column in the front. That this is how he built. He used meat to build, which is the word. Because you remember, when you kill a beast, you can't carry beast. So instead of beast, you use bread. She had killed, she had in out her seven pillars. So the house that wisdom built has seven pillars to hold it. That means when wisdom built into perfection. Or wisdom built into completion. When wisdom is at work, it will build until it's completed. When you see a man that build that does not complete, it's not wise. Just like I was teaching wisdom like that in the book of Matthew. Who is a man that wants to build a house that will not sit down and check the cost? Or which of you intended to build a tower, seated not down first, and can't tell the cost whether he has sufficient to finish it? So when they say he has built seven pillars, that he's finished it. Less happily, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, and all that behold, he began to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was unable to finish." So Jacob was teaching wisdom there. That was Jacob was teaching in this Luke 14. When you see the body of that thought, it was wisdom. So to say, to have seven pillar is that he built into finishing. And that wisdom is oversee the activity of seven spirits. Because seven pillars are candlesticks. They are him. So telling you that all the seven spirits, they are expressions of wisdom to make sure that the building is complete. all the seven spirits are operation of wisdom. They are wisdom. They are wisdom in totality, or they are wisdom in their diversity. It's wisdom in diversity. It's diversity of wisdom, or they are manifold of wisdom. The spirit of the Lord, spirit of wisdom in self and counsel or revelation, so counsel and mind, so knowledge of the fear of the Lord, they are all wisdom expressions. Wisdom expression, yeah. Not wisdom expression as a spirit alone, but wisdom expression as a person. Because Christ is wisdom.
Yes, sir.
Christ is the power of God, or is the power of the wisdom of God. For Christ made unto us wisdom, righteousness, salvation, and redemption. Allah and 20, in 20, for Christ is made unto us. Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So Christ is a wisdom. So when you see wisdom there, wisdom, when you say wisdom are seven pillars that you know that wisdom as wisdom as a person also are branches, and those branches are seven spirits. Wisdom is first of all a being. The concept of wisdom in Proverbs. In Proverbs 8 or 7, it was wisdom. I was with him from the beginning. So wisdom is a person. It's not just the wisdom is the word. The wisdom that was with God. So wisdom is the word. So the concept of wisdom as even as seven pillar there is the word.
Wow.
The word. The word with its law. The word. So he asks, he builds the house. It shall come to pass in the last days, Isaiah chapter 2, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established. So wisdom, when wisdom builds the house unto establishment, it's not just he finished it and established it. It shall come to pass in the last day that the house of the Lord shall be, the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. 3 and 4. Men shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, but not just to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. What is there? He will teach us of his way. So when you come into the house of the Lord, and the point of you find ways there. The house where carry ways is where they teach ways. You find ways in the house of the Lord. If for you, when I say way, are you enter into the house of the Lord? Are you going to the mountain of the Lord? The house of the Lord, there are ways. You find ways. Ways are attitude of the heart. Ways are laws of the heart. Ways are spirit of the heart. Ways are nature of the heart. Ways are culture of the heart. Ways are imaginations of the heart. Ways are reasoning of the heart. Ways are thoughts and the motives and the intents of the heart. Those are ways. They are spirit of the heart. We will walk in his path. They are ways, they are paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law. Can you see? Out of Zion. Which Zion there? Out of the mountain of the Lord. Shall go out the law and the word. So there are two things. The law and the word. So you see, the word and the law. Or the law and the word. The Lord. The law and the word. The law and the word. So you need the law, you need the word to build. You need the law for establishment. Because the mountain of the law is what has the house of the God of Jacob. So what build is the wall. But establishing the house is the law. The law we establish, the Lord we exalt. Because you see it. It's not just that the Lord's house shall be established, it shall also be exalted. Righteousness, I exhort a people. What is righteousness? Righteousness is the law of righteousness. It's the law of righteousness of faith. So the law is a tool. Righteousness exhort a nation, but since they reproach a people. So righteousness exhort. When I say the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established and shall be what? Exalted. So what the Lord does to his soul, the word of God will build you. The law of God will what? Will establish and what? And what? And exhort. To exhort. Say, my own shall thou exhort it. To exhort is to heave it. To exhort is to separate it. To exhort it is to make it sacred. To exhort is to sanctify it. The law sanctify. To exhort is to sanctify. My own shall I exhort it, and I shall be anointed with the fresh oil. Oil is to sanctify. To exhort is to consecrate it. To consecrate the house. To set the house apart. When you exhort, you set apart. You sanctify, and you say that this house is not a common house. You say this house is not for profanity. When you exalt a thing, you say it's not for profanity. It's not for uncommon. It's not for common things. To exalt is to make it holy. To exalt is to make it sacred. To exalt it is to sanctify it. In one of the prophets, it says, for you have exalted the Holy One of Israel. To exalt is to reference it. Is to upgrade it, is to regard it, to classify it among every other hills and every other mountain. For it shall be exalted above every other top of mountains and exalted above hills. You exalt it because every other mountain have their own gods, their own houses that they have exalted for their own idols. But this one is not like every other mountains. And driven every other hills. So you remember the Samaritan woman? Eh? In John 4. For our father worshipped on the mountains. So there are other mountains that they worship. But ye say at Jerusalem should men worship. You can say time is coming. That and now is. They were coming. When you shall neither worship this mountain, nor any other mountain, because there's a particular mountain. The mountain that we worship is the mountain that can house the house of God. Not every mountain can house the house of God. It is mountain that can house of God is mountain that is above every other mountains. Hill that can house the house of God that is above every other hills. Hill or over other mountain that is certain over every other mountains. That one makes Zion different. Zion is in top of mountains. Zion is the top of other mountains. Zion is not just one mountain. Zion, when you look at what makes Mount Zion different, Zion is the top of other mountains. It's in the book of Psalm. For you to arrive in Zion, you have to go through mountains. And so because of his on top of other mountain, he make him to be holy. He separates him. He separates him from other mountains. One of the books of Psalms says, as mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord can power on them that fear him. So there are mountains upon whose Zion is set. He said, for the law will come out of Zion. The law will come out of Zion. For out of Zion shall go forth the law. He called Zion. Zion. perfection of beauty, God at shine. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty. So when you come to Zion, on top of Mount Zion, is the house of God of Jacob. So in Zion, you find the word of God. In Zion, you find the law. For out of Zion shall come forth the law, and out of Jerusalem, the word of the Lord. For the law and the word of the Lord. You can now say, the word I speak to you, they are spirit. So spirit there was not big spirit, it's small spirit. So it's so that the word, if it's a spirit, then it is the good spirits. What the word carry, because the letter killer, the spirit, the word is the word, the spirit of the word, the spirit of the word, the spirit of the word is good. And the spirit of the law is good. The spirit of the law, law, law. The law as spirit, because the law is holy, the law is just, and the law is good. So the word as spirit, the word that I speak. So when you say, man, I have the word, it's not everybody that have the word, or not everybody have the good word of the Lord, or good word of God, that is good spirit. If you don't have good word of the Lord, you will have word that kill. Because let your word be seasoned so that you can minister. Because the word can either kill or the word can either give life. And the word that can give life is that which is good. It can minister that which is good. Or let no corrupt communication proceed out of their mouth. That, but that which is good to the use of the divine, that it may minister grace unto the heart and the soul. So, or the hearers. So we can see that the word of God, the law of God, they are good. And that is what a man should treasure. That's what a young man should treasure. So that he can cleanse his way. Way inside of him, he can cleanse the way inside of him. Where shall a man cleanse his way by taking it according to thy word? Thy word has I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. So in the book of that book of Romans 7 that we have seen, I found another law in my member. And I said that law, he called it sin. In 21, 22, 23. I find them a law that when I will do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my member, one against the law of my mind, bring me under captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. So I just wanted to compare this with the scripture I read now, that sin, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. So we see that my heart there, thy word have I used to ornament, adorn my heart. I have used your word, the spirit of your word has dressed me. He has converted me. You know, the word of God is a converter.
Yes, sir.
And the law of God is also a converter. What's converted? Transform. To convert is to transform. The word converts you. The law converts. Word that the law is convert. That's the thing that can convert a man. It can convert your members. Because they go to the roots and re-engineer your makeup. The word is entirety, which has to do with the water and the bread, or the seed and the rain. That's the word in its entirety with its law. You know, the climax is that a man cannot have the law without having the word. When you say it is at the water of the word, that you they give you the law, is at the end of the world, which is the water level or rain level, that you find the law. That's when you find the law, either in Christ or in God or in the Son of God. It is the season of the water you find the law. It's at the way that the lawgiver came. And from thence they went to Baal. This is what they call Baal Sheba. Bathsheba, oath, word of oath. That is the way whereof the Lord spake unto Moses. Gather the people together and I will give them the water. Then Israel sang this song. So when you are at the water, there's a song. Spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. The princes dig the well. The noble of the people dig the well by the direction of the lawgiver. with their staffs. So you can see that you find the lawgiver at the water. The lawgiver, the person that gives the law, is at the water. And the water is the word. But you arrive at the water, you won't find the lawgiver. Where the lawgiver, where you find the spirit of the Lord, the law of the spirit of life, that is either that is in Christ, or the law of the spirit that is in God, or in Son of God, which is the law of God, is at the water, in the season of the water, not the season of the bread, not the season of the seed. You must have used the bread. You are taking the water. That's when you see the appearance of the lawgiver. So the lawgiver does not appear until you have used the good word. The good word that make you good. And you are already taking the water. There, the lawgiver will show up. I think there's something also in Deuteronomy about the lawgiver, which was Moses, the lawgiver. 21 say, and he provided a first part for himself. Because there, in a portion of the lawgiver, he provided the first part for himself. You sure? In the season, there's a first part. Because there, in a portion of the lawgiver, was he seated, and he came with the head of the people. He executed justice of the Lord and his judgment with Israel. So you know, the lawgiver there was Moses. In the midst of the children of Israel, the lawgiver was Moses. The law came by Moses in John. Grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and truth. What is grace and truth? Word and law. Grace and truth is the word and law. You don't know? Grace is the word. Truth is the law. The law of truth. The knowledge of truth is the knowledge of the law. A man cannot find the law of truth. Either the truth of Christ, of the truth of a God of truth, or the truth of the living God. Because the living God is the God of truth. The God of truth is the living God. But if I tarry long, that I may know how to behave myself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. So I just want to see that there's a God of truth and there's the true God. You can't arrive at the true God until you are God. So the God of truth is the living God. So the living God is the God of truth. That will take you to the true God. There's the God of truth, or a God of truth, and there's the true God. The true God is a God of testimony and sayings of the book of prophecy. Those are the realm of the true God. But a God of truth is the season of the word and what? And the law. The word and the law must make you good. Where you are ready for covenant, testimony, you must have spoken the precept and the law to the people before you can make covenant, which I call wisdom. Your building, your establishment, and your separation. Because wisdom separates you. You say, man, through desire, having separated himself, that he exalted himself. If I was separate, how did they separate from sinner? Which wisdom will do? You find that in the book of Hebrews 7. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. May higher, exalted. Made exalted on heavens. So when you move into the place of to be exalted is to be separate. They remove you. Because the name of the law, it's like an out high tower, a strong tower. If it's a tower, it means it's exalted. Wisdom does not only build. Wisdom will raise you up. Wisdom will exalt you. Wisdom will establish you. When wisdom is establishing you, it's not just building with bread and water, but it is building you up. What is that? When I say building, I mean you are finding ways and thoughts. It's ways and thoughts. As heaven is higher from the earth, or as heaven is exalted from the earth, so am I away from your way, am I tough from your way to ways and thoughts are spirits. There are the good component that is in the word of God. And I say the entirety of the word of God, which is what? Bread and water, or seed and rain. Then, it is when you are the what? When you are in raining, or you are the where. What is the where? John 4. The water we give to you will become in you a where. Springing up. A where that can spring up, exalting. In the time of springing up is the time of the lawgiver. And it's springing up. To spring up is to write you up with the law. Springing up. Springing up. Springing up. When all your spring, when you can have water, but the water is not springing. What will make water in you to spring is the law. Is the bringing of the law in your inside. Spring up. John 4:14. Whosoever drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water, that's not the end. You may not be testing. You may stop testing. But God don't just want you to stop testing. God don't just want to stop testing. You can stop testing, but you may not be to spring. Every man that is top will test. We what? Shall never test, but the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing. So when you are springing, you can't spring without law. What make a soul to spring? When you mean to spring, spring. The devil can quench your thirst, but that does not mean that you start living. To spring, you start living. Spring up living water. Living water. That's when your soul is beginning to live. You are living. To be living mean you can't live without the Lord for your life. You can't live without the Lord, the spirit of life of God. It takes love for you to start living. And we not make covenant with this life, it's not springing. How can God make covenant with the dead? It's so that it's not springing. You must be springing. And so they must introduce your spring to you. They might cause a soul to eat bread and drink. It's not testing, it's living. But if you start springing, if you start to spring me, if you start generating, springing up. You know, that's how the way. They said the lawgiver, they brought the princes together and they told them to dig with their, they dig in Numbers 21:18. The princes dig the way. The noble of the people dig it by the direction of the lawgiver. The lawgiver is the one that said, oh yeah, dig it with their staff. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He break the old staff of bread. But they say, well, the staff of bread and water. And when I have broken the staff of your bread. So when you hear the word, the staff is the bread. So it's the staff of bread and water. You know, it's not only staff. When they send out the 12 spies, they also carry the buff of the fruit of the land with staffs. By the direction of the lawgiver, with their staff. You need the staffs of bread and water for you to receive from the lawgiver. I want you to know that the essence of the lawgiver is to cause you to spring. It can't be spring. It is at the direction you can have the bread and water and don't spring. You need the staff of bread and water with the direction of the lawgiver for to spring, for you to spring into living. It's not easy for you to bring a soul into living because the destination of the word of God is living. The word of God. The word of God is quick. That was quick. It's living and powerful. Sharper. The word of God should make you living. But the word of God does not fully make you living because to live me springing. Living is springing. Living is springing. To cause all the spring of you, there must have been things in you to make you to spring. The staff of bread must have been established and the staff of water, which means there's no quench. You are not got thirsty. There are things that men used to test for. When the man have taken bread and water, you don't longer have thirst. Or for this war. They quench thirst for this war. This is the work of wisdom. Wisdom called Christ. When a man starts springing, a man started coming to life. God does starting to commend you into the season of power. He had to be at the direction. Say direction.
Direction.
What is direction, lawgiver? Wisdom is profitable to direct. So that's why I said the lawgiver is a minister of wisdom. Profitable to direct you. Exercise 10:10. If the iron be blunt, he do not wear the edge. Then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. He says, in the spirit of the man, to direct. To direct. To instruct. I'm trying to exalt the sin of wisdom. When we are reading from the book of Proverbs, that to learn the instruction of wisdom, the understanding of the subtlety, he's talking about what wisdom must do in you. Wisdom is a work. Either you are learning Christ, or you are in the season of God. You are learning the hidden wisdom, or you are learning the word, the wisdom. There are two wisdom there. Either the hidden wisdom, which they teach them that are perfect. Speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom. There are two wisdom there. The wisdom of God and the hidden wisdom. With God ordained. So you need the hidden wisdom for glory. You can't access glory if you haven't been built up. if you have not been built up, and if you have not gained life.
Yes, sir.
So the wisdom of God will build you up. And the wisdom of God will give you life before you can have glory. Glory is the last thing, for that is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Or maybe if you are reading from the book of 1 Peter, he has called them to what? To praise, honor, and glory. Peter also called it, he has called it to virtue and glory. You must have assessed virtues first before you can come into glory. His power make you to become. He make you to attain the life, to inherit the life. But when wisdom is building a man, wisdom is establishing a man, wisdom is exalting a man, you see what wisdom do. And wisdom is instructing a man by a spirit, instruct. Thou giveth thy good spirit, which I say, to instruct them. And within all thy manner, the manner is the word. Manna is bread from their mouth. And give them water. Can you see? So it's manna, water, and what? And thy good spirit, which is the law. Nehemiah 9:20. That we tell not thy manna. So you have thy good spirit. You have thy what? Thy manna from their mouth. And that give them thy water for their thirst. So when do they stop thirst? Revelation chapter 7. We also see Revelation chapter 22. So they gather great multitude. And when they gather this great multitude, that cannot be numbered. And they have palms in their hand. So it showed that for them to have palms in their hand, they have eaten bread. They have been fed. They have eaten. Or they are eating. Look at Revelation chapter 7. From verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which can no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which seated upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and above the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their what? Faces, and worship God, saying, blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, and power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. And one of the elders saying unto me, what are these? They didn't say, who are these? What? What are these? Not who are these? Because they are trying to talk about their makeup. It's not who. It's what. Like, what is man? What is the son of man? It's to describe what is their make. What did they make them up? What made up these people? What are these? Who are they in white robes? And when came day, and I said unto him, sir, thy know it. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. So therefore, these people have entered the kingdom.
Amen.
For if for them to go through tribulation, because through much tribulation, we enter the kingdom.
Yes,
they have entered the kingdom. So they are clothed what in white robes. It showed that they are Levi. It showed that they are coming to Christ. Not Lord. Christ. Because white robe is Christ. White robe is for Levi.
Yes,
Levi wet white robe.
Yes,
Levi wet white robe. And the court for Levi is outer court. They have come to the court of court. They are Levi. It means that they have learned Christ. They have learned righteousness. Because Christ is righteousness and peace, or life and peace. They have come into life, because right white robe is life, and life is righteousness. The spirit is life because of righteousness. Romans 8. So these people are in the courts, because court is the kingdom. And in that court that they have come into, they are partaking of all every provision in the court. I thought I said they must have eaten,
yes, sir,
and gotten washed, because you eat in the court.
Yes,
what you eat? You eat the flesh of the animal on that is on the altar. And they will wash you. See, for this time, I'll be washed. The animal that they kill, they also sprinkle it on them. And they wash them with what? Brazen water on the what? The brazen. They cleanse them with the blood on the brazen altar, and they cleanse them with the washing in the bowl, brazen lava. And he said unto me, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation, have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. When you hear the blood of the Lamb, because the blood of the Lamb have different strength. The effect of the blood of the Lamb in the outer court, therefore the effect of the blood of the Lamb in the holy place, and therefore the effect of the blood of the Lamb in the most holy. They offer the Lamb in the court. So the blood of the Lamb in the court is what they have enjoyed. They've not received the administration of the blood of the Lamb in the holy place. Because how do I know? Therefore are they before the throne of God and serving day and night. They are still under the sun. They are in the court of the temple. And serving day and night in his temple. But this is temple here. His temple is the court. Because this is Revelation 7. When you go to Revelation, when you go to Revelation 11, you will find out. And there was giving me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood saying, Rise and measure the temple of God, comma, and the altar, and then that worship the earring, and the court, which is without the temple of God, leave out. And measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. The holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. So you see here, the court they should leave out. So these people, they are in the court. What do they say? For they cannot be numbered. Measure it not. The court without, measure it not. For you have given to the Gentiles. They through tribulation, they brought men to it. He said, great multitude who cannot be numbered, which cannot be measured. So there are those who worship in the temple of God and the altar. But there are those who are worshipper. They are going to tread their burden. They are serving there. But their service should not end there. Therefore, I'm there before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Now shall the sun light on them. So they are still subject to sunlight on them, nor any heat. Because the outer court has heat. Yes, sir. It's scorching. And not only heat, even the heat of the burning. For the Lamb, which is the midst of the throne, shall feed them. So he still wants to feed them. And shall lead them unto. So he wants to take them from that place and he will come and feed them. He will feed them, the Lamb. So there's a Lamb which is the midst of the throne. He's in the midst. But you need to lead them. The Lamb which is the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them into the living fountain of waters. And God shall wipe away tears from their eyes. So they are in the court of the temple. But they need to be led. They will be led into the living fonts of the springing. They will lead them unto when they can spring of waters or living wells of waters. So they shall feed them and shall lead them. But verse 16 says, they shall hunger no more. They shall. They will hunger no more when they have been fed. They shy. It's a future thing. They shy. As I said, they're still hungry.
Yes.
And they are still thirsting. Yes. But though the soul have been washed with the blood, they have been washed. But that is not enough. They still need to journey. They need to enter into the temple of God and the altar of the temple of God. The temple of God. When they open the temple of God in that Revelation chapter 11, they saw the ark of God in Revelation 11. And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen his temple, the ark of his testament. And there were lighting, voices, thundering, and great earthquake, and great air. So you see, there are those who worship in the temple. But before the temple, there are those who are the altar. The altar is the golden altar, which is facing the curtain into the most holy, into the temple of God. So the holy, because the only measure, because the measurement here is the measurement that they are measuring the place, the high priest minister. It's a minister of the sanctuary and the two tabernacle. He ministered the golden altar. We saw that like Gabriel, which is the angel of the temple of God, came into the altar during the time of Zechariah was in the time of prayer, the golden altar. Zechariah was in the golden altar to minister. So they only measure people that have arrived at the altar. And those who have arrived at the altar are those who are already Christ. They finish their Christ curriculum and they are learning, waiting to receive the ministry of the high priest. So check them out. Check their service there. And check those who are worshiping the temple of God. Those who have crossed over. The ministry. So he's in the scene of the living God. Into the tabernacle. Into the temple of God. Now the living God starts from the sanctuary onto the temple. Then into the... Because there's a living God in the sanctuary, at the altar, behind the curtain, into. But the lawgiver can travel down. The lawgiver can come to meet those who are at the court. The lawgiver. And the lawgiver will keep giving out the law. He will give out the law. Because you know that Levi is a keeper of the law and the priest. So you can't find the law that says you come to Levi. So the Bible said it's one lawgiver. Speak not evil of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judge his brother speaketh evil of the law and judge the law. But if they judge the law, they are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. I love that word. Save and to destroy. Who is able to save and to destroy. So you know that the lawgiver is the Son of God. So Christ is a lawgiver. And the Son of God is a lawgiver. Christ give the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The Son of God give the law of God. And the law of God, he only give the law of God to every man that have the word of God. He will not give it. Or he only give the law of the Spirit of life in Christ to any man that have the word of Christ. If you don't have the word of Christ, they won't give you the law of Christ. You can't have the law of the Spirit of life in Christ if you don't have the word yet. You must have the water. You must have been born of the water for you to be born of the Spirit. Because the law is the Spirit. Be born of the Spirit. So that you can become spiritual. But in everlasting life, so you can become wind that blow it. The law will make you a spirit. The law of Christ will make you to be a spirit, to be spiritual. Where the law of God will make you to be a wind. You become a wind that blow it. He that is born of the Spirit is like the wind that blow it. We make your soul windy. And you know, the beings that are windy there, they call them cherubim. Because you need to be cherubim. Spirit. To be spirit. I'm talking about what makes you good. He laid the beams of his chamber in waters. Who maketh the cloud his chariot. Who walketh upon the wings of the wind. And maketh his angels spirit and his messenger a flaming fire. Gospel, we must know that heaven wants to make our soul. When the soul has spirit, not just spirit of the world or spirit that is upon the water, because there can be spirit of the world, spirit of breath, but you can offer a spirit of water, spirit upon the water, and the spirit will move upon the water, the spirit upon the water, but the spirit of the law, if it's Christ, make your soul to be spiritual. But if it's the spirit, the law of God will make you to be wind, like a wind. Because you must be a man that is abiding. Keep the word, live it and abide it. If you are not in the sin of abiding, you can't find the law. Well, the sin of abiding is the sin of water. When you are in the sin of the abiding, it's water. Isaiah 40, render 1 Peter 1:22, he render it as the word of God that abideth. In what? He standeth forever. The voice say, cry, and I say, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. 46 and 9. And all the goodness thereof as the flower of the field. The grass be there, the flower feed there, but the spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass, the grass withered, the flower faded, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So there is the Spirit of the Lord, and there's the word of our God. So the Spirit of the Lord is the law and the word of our God. So what they call the Spirit of the Lord there is the law, which is good, the word which is good, that it is good treasures of a man's heart. Your heart must treasure the word, and your heart must treasure the Spirit, which is the law, to make you good. What they use testimony, and they use sense of the little book in the season of everlasting life to do is to perfect. Perfect you through the blood of everlasting covenant. They only perfect that which is good. You find that in the book of Hebrew. You find that both in Peter. Now the God of peace that brought again the death from our Lord Jacob, that which shepherd the flood through the blood of everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good works. They only perfect the good in you, because the Father is every good and perfect.
Yes.
So the season of testimony, covenant, testimony, sayings of the word, are time of perfecting. But they have to use the word to make you good. They use the word and the law to make you good. So they use the word of Christ, eh? And the law of Christ to make you good. So that you can be perfected. You can be a bond of perfection. Faith. You know, the word of Christ, the faith. The word of Christ, the faith, and the hope of Christ. You know, hope, you don't find hope until you have entered sanctuary. It's in sanctuary you find hope. Though, when you are in the court, you still have some things. It is on the sanctuary. Say, in Psalm 73, I was envious at the fool. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, he was envious of them. His feet almost slipped. He has feet, so he's standing, but he's still almost, he's just about to slide. My step had went near slipped. You can backslide. Until I went to the sanctuary of God, then I understood. It's in the sanctuary that they bet hope that is in Christ. They move a man from the hope under the sun into the hope. They move a man from miserable things, a miserable children as they to perish, and bring you to the sanctuary of God, where you enjoy activity of seven spirits. Your soul is not just having life. You need to have life. But how can you have peace? Peace is a soul that is quieted. A soul that is no longer hungry and thirsting for things that men under the sun look for. Which is, the beginning of it is hope. Which purify it. Hope which sanctify it. Every man that has this hope in himself, purify himself as is pure. That's when you become pure. It is when you are pure by truth. 1 Peter 1:22. See, you purify your soul in obeying the truth unto unfeigned love. What purify is hope,
yes, sir,
which is activity of seven spirits, the eyes,
sanctuary.
Then you attain, you purify your soul in obeying the truth unto unfeigned love. Sincere love, unfeigned, pure love of the brethren. See that you love one another fervently with a pure heart, that they will truly make you good by the gift of his word, either the word of Christ or the word of God. And much more, when you are human, you arrive at the water of the word, that the lawgiver will appear to you. Everybody needs the appearance of the lawgiver. You need the appearance of the lawgiver. The appearance of the lawgiver. The lawgiver must come to you. But the love of God does not come to you if you are not using the water of the word to wash yourself, cleanse yourself, sanctify yourself for you to receive. So you see the lawgiver will appear, the lawgiver under Christ appear to you at the brazen altar to take you in. He washes you to take you in. You find that in the book of Hebrew, which is not the washing of the feet. That's the first appearance of the lawgiver. You explain the lawgiver. The lawgiver does not appear at once. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, this signaling that the way unto the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, whereas the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure. Which was a figure for the time when then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifice, that could not make they that do the service perfect, appertain to the conscience, which stood only the meats and drinks, and diverse washing. So there's a washing that you have to go through. After you have eaten, you have partaken of meat and drink. Diverse washing and carnal ordinances. So there are things you must meet and drink before you can arrive at washing. Washing of water. You eat and drink and you eat and drink and you arrive at washing. You must eat and drink. Then you arrive at washing. The drink, you drink it and you start washing. Washing. And then in moving to carnal ordinance, order imposed on them until the time of revelation. But Christ being come an high priest of good things to come by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hand, that is to say, not of this building. I just want you to see that there is washing. But you can't, they don't go to washing until you have eaten and drank. And you eat and drink on with the word. Moving to washing. So what they call carnal ordinances there is the role of the lawgiver. Because who give ordinances are lawgivers. Ordinance is the lawgiver. It's the appearance of the lawgiver. So the lawgiver will come to you. Just want to know that the lawgiver appear at the time of washing and the water. That's when the lawgiver. Because the lawgiver is at the direction or at the ordinances that the lawgiver will give you. Because they don't just take you from outer court to holy place if you are not springing. There's something you must be springing before you can enter holy place. And when you get holy place, there's something you will be springing before you can enter most holy. Your soul must be out something to allow you to come into most holy place. Or for you to be born as a newborn babe. The high priest must have come to wash you or to sanctify you as a refiner of silver and gold. In the sanctuary to take you in. The Lord bless you and cause his face to shine upon you. Be gracious unto you in the name of Jesus. Bless you. Show you great mercy and greater help. In Jesus' name we are praying.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.